I saw a sign in a church, and the sign said, and I don't know why it said this, but I thought about it a lot. It says, what Christmas means to me. And I was thinking about that. That's indicative of our culture. What suffering means to me. You know, what the Bible means to me. What Christmas means to me. You know what I think about? What does Christmas mean to God? You know what I mean? That's really what weighs on me. I mean, what response does he want? And the first one right here is it's the biblical celebration. And I just want to share with you some of the scriptural background for the biblical celebration of Christmas, the incarnation, when God became man. And I think back in my college days and my favorite professor, I was a church history major and working, doing my PhD work in church history, and I remember my favorite professor, my mentor in the PhD program, Dr. Edward Panosian. He was Arminian, not Arminian, which is the opposite of Calvinist, but Arminian, as in the people that were almost decimated in a genocide that live in Turkey. But Dr. Panosian was one of the dramatic actors and everything at the university. And every Christmas, he would do something for the student body in a multiple Christmas program. He'd be part of the cast. And I remember the one year he did the poem, God Became Man. And when he got through that, he was actually tears running down his face because the reality of what happened. And the ultimate sacrifice ever made was when God became man. And look at what happened in Luke chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 78. Because the biblical celebration of Christmas is, number one, the dawning of light on a dark planet. Luke 1 says this, through the tender mercy of God, and don't ever forget, our salvation is solely through the tender mercy of God. We did not go seeking him. From the Garden of Eden on, he has been seeking us. You understand? That's the tender mercy of God. Verse 78 continues, with which the day spring, it says in the New King James, there are different versions of that, but basically that word is sunrise. That's what it means, sunrise. That's what Jesus is. He is the sunrise from on high, has visited us. Again, he didn't start his existence, right, in the cradle. He is just visiting. And what's amazing is that the infant in the manger was the infinite one that was holding the universe together, even at that time. Remember Christ, by him all things consist? Even while he was laying there, wrapped up in rags, he was holding the universe together. Now that's amazing. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once put it this way. He said, Christ laying in the manger was much like the oak tree forests of the world laying in the cup of one acorn. You ever think about, you know, one acorn on the ground has the potential of making enough acorns to fill the whole earth with oak forests? Well, what he's saying is Jesus Christ, that little tiny babe, had infinite power laying right there in that little manger, but yet he laid aside the independent exercise of it. Continuing in verse 79, to give light. Christmas is the coming of light. And remember, men love darkness rather than light because our deeds are evil. And I think women like darkness rather than light too, not just men, you know what I mean, but men, mankind in general is what the scriptures are talking about, all humans. But he came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. People don't like to think about death very much. It's a chilling, sobering thought. And we're all actually in the shadow of death all the time. I mean, it's looming up there, it's coming, and it's inevitable, and life is fragile, and we don't know how long we're going to last, but we're sitting in the shadow of death. And it says he came, listen to verse 79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't that exciting? Number one, the Christmas celebration is a celebration that Christ has come as the dawning of light.